do you say that I am? It's a question that Jesus asks, and the question echoes throughout the centuries. But let me begin first with a story about naming. Who do we name? Let me tell you about our cat. You see, 2 months ago, we got a feral cat. You can look in the backyard of the rectory, and you can see this blue cage. And that's where our cat hounds. What the cat does, believe it or not, it protects your donuts and all those bagels from any outsiders. So we have this name for a cat that was given to us by the SPCA called Heat. And Heat. And I'm saying there's got to be another name than Heat. So I'm having a little contest and asking people, what do you think we should call this cat? Beautiful, black and white, and sparkling blue eyes. You know, someone suggested Paul Newman. Where'd you go? He's got Paul Newman's eyes. Check him out, you'll see. But when we name an animal for your children, isn't it fun to name a pet, a dog or cat? It gives you a sense of power when you name a creature. Or your parents, when you named a son or daughter, the preciousness, indeed the sacred process of giving someone a name. Well, here are names that we are struggling with today, where Jesus is saying, who do you? Now notice, who speaks up? Peter, whose name was once Cephas, or Simon. Peter almost like has an identity crisis, but Jesus named him for a special reason. And what was Jesus' name? I taught some children earlier today, and I said, Jesus' last name was not Christ, like we have Jesus Christ. No, in those days it was Jesus from his town, Jesus of Nazareth. The Christ comes in as the Messiah. And it is Peter, for the very first time, who names him. Peter had this power. Out of the blue, the Spirit said to Peter, call him the Christ. And notice, then what happens? This Satan tempts Peter. Peter, what gall does he have? And to rebuke Jesus, he's saying, Master, you know, we got to tell. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan, almost like a cursed word. He sensed the temptation that was coming through Peter. Names and identity speak volumes about who we are from one century to the next. We have Cephas becoming Peter. We have Jesus of Nazareth being named the Christ. Paul speaks of him as the Christ named Jesus. In Paul's letters, he doesn't speak of Jesus Christ. He often says Christ Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, who was Jesus of Nazareth. It's a fine tuning. But let me give you some other names. In the latter part of the 13th century and early 14th century, a person named Francis of Assisi had an apparition. He was there in the church in St. Damiano. And there on the cross, he heard a voice. And Francis listened, and the voice said, rebuild my church. Francis responded by creating the order that we now know as the Franciscans. A few centuries later, a woman named Catherine of Siena had a voice speak to her, a voice that said, go to the Pope. In those days, in the 14th century, the Pope had moved to Avignon in France, not Rome, had left Rome and went to the south of France, where they created a palace for the Pope. Catherine of Siena went and said to the Pope, you must return to Rome. Another voice by a man named Inigo, later who called himself Ignatius, we know as Ignatius of Loyola, in 1540, in the heart of the Reformation, heard a voice and say, help to reform my church. And so the Society of Jesus was born, and indeed reformed the church, the Counter-Reformation, but more significantly, different ways of bringing the Word of God came about, rebuilding our church from one century to the next. My brothers and sisters, this summer has indeed been a challenging one for the Archdiocese of Washington and for the Roman Catholic Church in general. It seems that weekly a disturbing revelation has been made, and one wonders how our broken church will rebuild its credibility. And it occurred to me that in the spirit of Francis of Assisi, who heard through that apparition, "Rebuild my church," in the spirit of Catherine Siena, who challenged the Pope to move in a constructive way, in the spirit of Ignatius of Loyola, who went through a discerning process and helped organize a group, not just Jesuits, but indeed an educational system to create a more intelligent faith. In that spirit, we gather to ponder, how do we rebuild our church? As you may read today in our parish bulletin, our parish of Holy Trinity has entered a new season of discernment through a process first of listening. On consecutive days last weekend, we had 3 listening sessions. We have already had 12 altogether, and more will happen. And what are we listening for? What is the pain and the anguish, the affect first before the thoughts or actions? What is the Lord speaking to you in your questions and in your anger of what's happened in the church? And we've invited parishioners to integrate, to go through this process, asking 4 questions. They're in the bulletin. Allow me to read them aloud. First, what is heaviest in your heart about the recent revelations of their church? 2, what do you want to say to clergy, bishops, to know from you? 3, how can you exercise your rights and power as laypersons? 4, what actions must the hierarchy take in order for you to see credible progress? Parishioners who were not able to attend the past listening sessions or the upcoming ones, you are invited to respond to an online feedback form found on our homepage or by calling to the parish center to answer 1 or 4 of these questions. The important point, your voice is important. Be part of the process of repairing and rebuilding our church. Thus far, both in quantity and intensity, the responses have been powerful, profound, and prayerful. A discerning process requires prayer. And as part of our season of discernment, our plan is to have these responses grouped into types and patterns that arise. Why is this important? Discernment happens by looking at the patterns of the movement of the Spirit through responses. Patterns will be posted on our website. Within the next few weeks, we intend to offer times when anyone who is interested in working for change will come together for a discerning and planning meeting. We hope that this process will guide us to a series of parish-led, parishioner-led actions, lay-led involvement. And so I invite you into this process, into this season of discernment, so that the Holy Spirit, who moved Francis of Assisi, who moved Cephas, Simon Peter, who moved Catherine of Siena, who moved Ignatius of Loyola, who moves you today, may be heard, may be felt, so that we may indeed set about the rebuilding of the Church of Christ, so that truly, with confidence and credibility, we can call ourselves Christians, followers, Catholics. Through the church and its long history, there is hope in this difficult time. Let us listen to one another and name the Christ respond to Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? Who do we say that we are? Men and women and children, rebuilding for a new generation, the Church of Jesus Christ.